you know, I'm 51, going on 52, and when I was 35, I thought I knew it all. You know what I mean? You ever been there in life? You think, man, I got this thing licked. It's smooth sailing. And then all of a sudden you come to the reality that, no, it's not. I have so much more to learn and grow into and be. And thank God for it. It would be a boring place if I knew it all, wouldn't it? It really would. So I thank God for that. And today we're going to talk about some of that. Because as I spoke to the children about God's grace, what is God's grace? Understanding God's grace. And as I looked and began developing this, I actually spoke with Brother David Webster, which, by the way, please keep him in prayer. Brother David is down in York right now working on getting the people back with power. They've got like 18,000 people down in York County that still don't have power. So he's out there working on power lines that have been downed for days. So please keep him and his crew in your prayers. But I told Brother David what I was preaching on. He said, oh my, he said, Pastor, he said, we could preach on that subject for the rest of our lives. I said, Brother David, we are. And he just laughed and said, oh, yeah. The grace of God. So I thought, okay, how do I start this? How do I bring this into reality? And the best way I can do that is to use an illustration. So if you would, turn your attention to the screen this morning and let us. Our hands do many things in life. A lot of them not so good. But God stretched out His hand from heaven and we put nails in them. With those nails in His hand, He spoke the most wonderful words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And grace died. But 3 days later, He rose again. And today, He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for the saints. And that is you, brothers and sisters. And that is grace. Would you turn to Ephesians 2 with me, please? Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in the first verse, I need to read the whole chapter. It's so amazing to me. When I sat down and just started reading this, I thought, I just can't pick a piece of it. I've got to read the whole thing. From the second chapter in the book of Ephesians, we read these words. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Blessed be the word of the Lord to our immortal souls. Brothers and sisters, grace is the mercy of God coupled in action with the love of God. As you and I find ourselves in this world of sin, and the sin that we are in and were in before we came to Christ, as we've just read here, God, through his love, still wants that relationship with us. He wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. That's why we were created. We were not created to be sinful beings. We were created to be the image of God, sinless. So in his mercy, God sent his Son, and Jesus is grace. He is living grace. He is eternal grace. And in his taking of our punishment, of our guilt, he became sin on our behalf. And when he rose on that third day and entered into heaven, he sealed all of us in grace. For without the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for us. But in that, the grace of God was poured out that every one of us could receive the hope of eternity. And I don't say hope the way the world says hope. You know, we say, I hope I win the lottery, and throw the ticket away, because that's about what your chances are. But in Jesus Christ, our hope is sure. It's not something that we dream about. It's something that we know. We're just longing for the day. And that's the grace that we have, because we know we deserve something else, don't we? Each and every one of us looks in the mirror every day and says, you don't deserve the love that God's giving you, but aren't you glad you have it? Isn't this day a worthy day because God has chosen to love me again, anew, starting over every day? And we need to start our day over every day the same way, walking in sin no more, trying to become sinless as we sin less. Did you get the picture? But it's so amazing because grace does so much more for us. Grace is something that continues to give and give and give and give. Grace saves us through faith, and true salvation is eternal forever. Did you know that? True salvation is eternal and forever. Grace isn't just apportioned once and it's done. Grace continues to give and give and give and give. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans in the third chapter. Romans in the third chapter, and this is what I was speaking to the children about, and you know, it's going to be very familiar to all of you. Romans in the third chapter, beginning in verse 23. We're going to read 23 through 25, and I'd like us to read it together, if we may. From the 23rd verse in the book of Romans, third chapter. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. We deserved death. We deserved wrath. But God did not bring it. And God does not bring it. Once we're in Christ and we sin, we fall, we fail, however you wish to say it, God continues to bestow grace upon us, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. Jesus Christ died once for all, but the blood that He shed is not like the blood of bulls, which was temporary and only lasted to the next sin, but is eternal. And it covers a multitude of sins. It covers all your sin, past, present, and future. Now, does that mean we have a license to continue sinning? Because doesn't the Scripture say that where sin abound, grace aboundeth much more? No, Paul says, no. For we have died with Christ. Therefore, let us sin no more. Because grace affects us to the place of saying this is wrong and knowing it, because the Spirit of God enters in with us and we begin this relationship. Grace does not simply come upon you and have no effect. Grace is what changes us and transforms us. Grace is what makes people want to walk in the church doors, because it's what people long for, not to be held guilty any longer, but to be able to turn and live a new life. Boy, isn't this kind of neat how it turns into this Sunday school lesson, Brother Bob. One thing I've learned about God, He knows you're going to mess up. He knows you're going to fall short. Does that mean that He looks the other way? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He looks long and hard right into you. Remember what I said about God the other week? God is a consuming fire. Because the longer He looks into you and the deeper He looks into you, the more He wants to purge out of you. Because He knows the potential you have. You were created to be a spiritual being to last forever. Not in this body, but into eternity. Into eternity. Do you know when Adam and Eve were created, they were literally created to live forever in these physical bodies? Did you know that? You know, a lot of people don't realize that. They think, well, no, wait a minute. How can that be? Because they had the tree of life there and they were allowed to eat from it. If they'd have continued eating, why do you think they lived to be 900 and some years old? They had a perfect body and they were able to eat from the tree of life. So they'd have lived forever. But the reality is, because they were taken out of the garden where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was, because they ate of it and were told not to, God had to remove that grace that allowed them to live forever in the bodies that He created for them. Now think about that. Some of you folks who are getting old, some of you who are older than me, how do you feel? I know right now I can tell it's going to snow. My hip is just going nuts. Of course, walking around the farm show building yesterday didn't help. But think about this. Adam lived to be 900 years old. Ladies, how old do you think Eve was when she had her last child? 600? 700? 800? I got looks coming at me. Yeah, right. Miss Shannon's saying, oh, no. This too shall pass. But in grace, God says, I'm going to let you live forever, even though in this body, which is dying even now because of sin, I'm going to let you live forever because I love you. And I'm going to do everything I can, because you see, this is one of the things that we need to understand. Grace does not depend upon you, or you, or you, or you, or you, or you. I can go the whole way around the room. Grace depends upon God. It depends upon His love. It depends upon His long-suffering. It depends upon His forbearance. It depends upon His generosity. It depends upon His love, His nature. Grace is God's nature, completely and totally. But if we won't come to grace, if we will not submit ourselves to grace, then God has no choice but to pour out upon us what? Wrath. And He does not want to do that. You know, you might think, well, Pastor Rich, how can you say that? How do you know God doesn't want to do that? He's told us that. In the book of Ezekiel, He writes to us in the book of Ezekiel, these are His words in 18:22. I do not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? God says, if you want wrath, I'll give it to you. That's what love does. Love says, okay, you choose. I'm giving you the choices, grace or wrath. What are you going to choose? Where are you going to go? And the awesome thing is, when we choose the grace, it's eternal. It lasts forever, and it just keeps getting larger. You know, I don't know about you, but I find that my patience grows thinner and thinner as time progresses, you know, especially when it's one certain thing. If somebody does something and ticks me off, I'll give them a lot of grace all up front, you know. Then they do it again and they get a little bit less grace. And they do it again, they get a little bit less grace. What's the saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. All right? There won't be a third time. But in God, He knows us. And He says, I'm here. But you got to be working on this thing too. You know, I can remember when I first came to Christ. And I can remember, and I'm sure most of you can too. I had a language that was, I would make a sailor blush. Okay, I worked in a machine shop and every fifth word was a superlative for some ungod-known reason. You know, you just throw those words in there to make it. I don't know why you throw those words in there anymore. I don't do that anymore. Praise His name. But it was so amazing to me because I caught myself. It would come out of my mouth and I'd be 5 minutes away and I'd think, oh man, I can't believe I said that. Well, I'll do better next time. And then I would go on and the next thing you know, it was 3 minutes and I was remembered. It was 2 minutes I was remembered. Then it was coming out of my tongue and then it would... Oh, I can't say that no more. Been there? That's grace. That's what grace affects in you. It brings that change slowly as you submit yourself to the grace, realizing that every time you do that sin, it costs Jesus His blood. It cost Christ the cross. Every time I sin, it cost Him the cross. And it gets to the point where I can't go there anymore because I don't want to put Him back on that cross again. He went once for all. I can't put Him back there. That's what grace does. That's the eternal nature of grace. But you see, grace does even more than that, because grace is an unconditional love and mercy. Flip over just a few pages here to Romans in the fifth chapter. Romans in the fifth chapter, verses 15 is where we're going to start. And listen to what the Holy Spirit has to tell us here through Paul. And I know this can get pretty heavy. This is a very theological piece of scripture. But we're going to look back at our Ephesians because Ephesians says it the same way, just a little different. But I want to read it here because here it talks a whole lot about the grace that affords this stuff. From verse 15 it says, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass," and we're talking about original sin, okay? We're talking about Adam's sin. "If the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" You see, just as Adam's sin overflows to all of us because we are his offspring and we are now born in a sin nature, because once sin is entered in, it can't be taken back out, all right? It alters the DNA. There's one for you scientists. Sin alters the DNA. Why do you think our DNA is so messed up? Why do you think we have birth defects? Why do you think we have diseases? The DNA is messed up. All right? The love of Christ, the grace that is within Christ, overflows to the many. So if that sin caused death in all of us, that one man, Jesus, can bring life if we accept it, because it is through faith. Again, from verse 16, "The gift is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increases, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And here's where we spoke it. "And what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." God's love and mercy is unconditional in this thing. God knows we're going to mess up time and time and time again. That's why the law was added, to show us how many times we messed up. Do you remember what I said about the Israelites when they came to Mount Sinai? They had no idea who God was, right? They really didn't. They didn't even know his name. They didn't know any of his statutes. They knew nothing. They simply knew that there was a God out there that they served. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What's his name? I have no idea. What's he look like? Don't know. What's he asked of you? I have no idea. Well, then how do you believe in him? Because our father did, and we do too. Wonderful. So they meet the guy. Right? You remember when they met him? He came down on the mountain and the mountain shook and they all said, "Woohoo, there's our God." No, they all said, "Oh, don't talk to us. We're going to die." Because when he spoke the Ten Commandments to them. And for the first time, they saw what sin was and they knew they were sin themselves and that they were going to die. Is it any wonder they didn't want to hear him talk again? Because the fear in their minds was the next thing he was going to speak was judgment. He brought us out here in this desert to kill us all. It's not what he did he? He brought him out into that desert to cleanse them. He brought him out into that desert to teach them who he was and to become so dependent upon him that they could not turn to the left nor turn to the right, but to walk that straight and narrow path. Because in the desert, if you trod one place off, you can easily lose your life. How many of us have been there? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. God's grace is completely and totally unconditional. He knows we're going to mess up. And God's grace, like I said, it doesn't depend upon us. It depends upon Him. It depends upon His reality. And all we have to do is submit ourselves to Him through that grace. And He changes our lives. He transforms us from the inside out. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you're going to do. And yet He chooses to call you to Himself. He chooses to love you. Now I want to ask you something. Would you choose you? If we all had to be very honest with ourselves, would we choose ourselves? The reality is no. I wouldn't want to be around that person. I wouldn't want to give them my life. Why? They're just going to spit on me and turn from me and do their own thing. But God says, no, I won't do that. I can't do that. His love is far greater than we know. That's called what? Grace. Oh. He says, you deserve death, but I'm going to take it. That's called what? Grace. He says, you deserve wrath, but I'm going to give you compassion. That's called what? Grace. He says, you did me wrong, but I'm going to forgive it. Because I love you. That's called grace. He says, you are the worst of the worst. But I'm going to tell you, you're the best of the best. That everything can be achieved in your lifetime. There's nothing you can't do. You are worth everything. Don't let anybody tell you that you're worth less, because in me you are worth so much more. And that's called grace. Grace teaches us. Did you see how I taught you? Brought you right along to the point where you were saying what I wanted you to say. And that's what grace does to us. Grace brings us to the place of teaching us. Grace teaches us how to live in this world. Turn to Titus 2. Titus 2. You know, it was so funny when Brother David and I were talking on the phone and he came to the reality and he was being very, you know, he's down in York, he's doing his thing down there and he's got his mind on that stuff. And when he made that comment, you know, I said to him that I'm preaching on grace. And he says to me, oh man, he says, we could preach on that the rest of our lives. That was his exact words. And I said, Brother David, that's all we do. And it got dead quiet on the other side of the phone. And then he just laughed. He said, you know what? You're right. I said, yeah. Everything we preach is about grace, because it's about God and how He interacts with us. Look at Titus 2, 11 through 14. From verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you. Brothers and sisters, as we walk in this grace, it teaches us the transforming power of God's love in righteousness. But we must submit ourselves to this grace. It is not something that is forced. God has those things that are called commandments, right? He says, do this and don't do that. But before you can even receive a commandment, you've got to submit to grace. We have free will. We're the only living creatures that have free will. The only. Of all the living species on this planet and in our universe, whatever may be out there, we are the only creatures with a free will to choose to accept grace and then to live by faith, believing and knowing that God is love. And not the love that the world talks about, you know, butterflies and rainbows. But true love. Love that has parameters. Love that has expectations and desires. Love that has rules. Love that truly sets us free from the sin that started it all. Love that came at a price. And a price that still is paying that dividend today. My question to you is this. Today, will you submit to God's grace and receive life? Will you submit to God's grace and grant grace to others? Will you submit to God's grace and be transformed to the image of His Son evermore? As this video plays, I ask that you ponder those questions.